You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
But guys, I am so glad to be with you this morning. My name is Rachel Phillips, and I'm the student minister here at Parkside. That's why I'm shouting out those students in there. And I'm just super excited to get to share with you today. Who's excited for Thanksgiving? Some nods, some hand raises, yep, some claps, there we go. I see some of us, we're shaking our heads, no. We have to be in the kitchen all day, we have to clean the house to get everyone, to get the house cleaned up for everyone who's coming over, and some of us are just not really excited for that. But some of us are excited to have the family over, to eat all the good food. I'm really excited for this evening. We're doing a little bit early Thanksgiving in student ministry. We do it every year where we spend time this afternoon, some of me and some great friends. We will cook all day long over in the kitchen. We'll get everything ready, and then the students will come. We'll get to share a meal together. Family Nurturing Center, some of their staff will come, and we'll get to celebrate those huge mountains of food that you guys brought in. Y'all showed up this year for the food drive, for real. If you haven't seen by the front door over there, it's like overflowing. Like I had to push it back, get it out of the hallway a little bit. It's awesome. And I'm so excited that we get to celebrate that tonight with the students. And that's what I'm most looking forward to in this season of Thanksgiving. But this season, it's really busy. We got a lot of things going on. And it's a season that we're supposed to be thankful. But sometimes it feels too hectic to even stop, catch our breath, and let alone have that thought of being thankful. It's also a time where we're supposed to have joy, right? Some of us are already decorating for Christmas, and that's supposed to be the season of joy. My neighbor next door was putting up Christmas lights, and I said, hey, it's not even December yet. What you doing? So if that's you, I guess it's okay. We'll be friends still. But it's supposed to be a season of joy, full of joy. But sometimes the holidays, they're sad. We get depressed a little bit. We remember those family members that aren't going to be with us this year. And remember the good memories that we had. And sometimes this is a stressful season of the year where maybe money might be a little tighter than it used to be, and you're not really sure how you're going to make it through the season. It's hard to have joy in those moments. Paul, he wrote a letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, and it is to reconnect with the people that he had when he fled because of persecution. And these people in Thessalonica, it was a time where they could have been without joy. They could have been frustrated at Christ, distant from God because of all the persecution. But Paul heard that these people, they were thriving. They were rejoicing and full of Christ and spreading his word. So Paul, he wrote them to encourage them, to celebrate them, and ended with a challenge to them. And that's where we're going to focus today. As he closes the letter, my Bible said a benediction to the Thessalonians. And in that, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Our joy, our prayers, our thankfulness, they shouldn't fluctuate on our circumstances. Well, it's probably easier said than done a lot of the time, right? Our feelings, they tend to control our joy and our prayers and how thankful we are in life. It often goes against our natural inclination or against our natural ways of doing things in life to let our circumstances control our joy, our prayers, our thankfulness. But when we make that conscious decision to do what God's will is in our life, then we begin to have a new perspective on these things. So today, that's what we're going to do. We're going to break it down a little bit. We're going to talk about what it means to be joyful. We're going to talk about pray without ceasing and talk about being thankful in all circumstances. So be joyful. Paul tells us, be joyful always. And if you know anything about Paul, you probably know that joy goes along with Paul. It was a pretty major theme in his life. The book of Philippians that Paul wrote is often known as the epistle or the letter of joy. Because again and again in this letter, Paul speaks on his own joy. And it's said that his joy is contagious. And he encourages the people of Philippi to participate in that joy that Paul is experiencing. But if you know anything about that book, you also know that that book was wrote while Paul was in jail. This man had a joy which was contagious while he was in jail. So where is Paul placing his joy? I mean, not in his circumstances, right? Who has joy in jail? Especially Paul in jail, right? The persecution, the lack of Christians that he is around. And it's really just a bad situation for Paul. But he is placing his joy in the hope of Jesus. He knows he has eternal life with God and that this is only momentary. But what he has with Jesus is eternal. The joy of the world is empty. Those momentary things that we can get joy in, it's empty. But the joy of the Lord is rich and abundant. Our world, the worldly happiness will fade with time. But God's people, we will rejoice forever. We have eternal life with Jesus and we'll rejoice forever. In James 1, it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know the testing of your faith, which produces steadfastness. Consider it joy when we face tough circumstances. I mean, personally, a lot of the time, I'd probably rather not, to be honest with you. It's hard to be joyful when things are not going well, when things are really dark and everything seems to be in despair. It's hard to find joy. But it's possible to still be filled with the joy of the Lord, even in those hard times. Right? We won't be happy that something bad is happening to us. But we can live with hope that God will never forsake us. When we face these tough situations, it's also an opportunity to mature and strengthen our faith. Right? Jeff, he read earlier, he said, we rejoice in the hope for the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that our suffering produces endurance. It produces endurance, that suffering. And we can have joy in that. See, God's glory is so good that even the hope of his glory is something to rejoice about. So when he tells us to rejoice, it's not about the circumstances that we're living that we are rejoicing in, but it's the hope that we have in Jesus that we are rejoicing in. And I think that's a lot to rejoice in, guys. So be joyful. Be joyful always. And then Paul challenges us to pray without ceasing. Be prayerful, right? So prayer is a common thing in most of our lives. We've already done it today. We've already prayed this morning. But I still think it can be a bit confusing from time to time. Do we have to sit with our heads bowed, our hands closed, our eyes closed all the time when we pray? Also, what are we supposed to say during prayer? How many times can I say, hey, God, thank you for this. Hey, God, thank you for that. Hey, God, help this person. What are we supposed to say during prayer? And how long should we pray for? It says pray without ceasing. What does that even mean? How are we supposed to do that? These are all the questions that I often have about prayer. And in this verse, I don't think Paul is saying, hey, go sit over in that corner 24/7, bow your heads, close your eyes, pray to God, and just talk with him all the time and don't do anything else. Right? That's not exactly what it's saying here. But it is possible to live our lives daily with a prayerful attitude. Our lives, we should live them as we are. We depend on God through our lives. And we should acknowledge that he is present in every moment, every time and day of our lives. And that is when we find it natural to have these frequent, spontaneous, short prayers. Prayers like, hey God, I'm about to head into this meeting. I think it's going to be really tough. Just be with me. Or, hey God, I know this person is not doing well and they're really sick. Be with them. Or, hey, I'm about to take this test. Just be with me. Calm my nerves. The short prayers are ways of being in communication with God. When we spend time talking to God, it shows him that you love him. It's demonstrating our faith. If you were to not talk to your friend for long periods of time, your relationship would grow distant, and it would start to fade away. And so that is why we need to be in constant communication with the Lord. When we pray, we're demonstrating our faith. We're opening ourselves up to be blessed by the Lord. And I think all of us know that when we pray, we're not always going to get exactly what we pray for. Sometimes God decides to use our prayers in other ways, but we will still be blessed in the end as long as we have open communication with the Lord. As I was thinking and working on this message, I was thinking, what are the important things that I know about prayer? And I really narrowed it down to three pretty easy things, I think. The first one is that prayer can be simple. And we've already kind of talked about that a little bit. But these prayers, your prayers, they can be short, they can be sweet. They don't need to use all the fancy language, all the Bible-y kind of terms that we hear. And we don't really know what they mean, but it kind of sounds good. We don't need to use those fancy words. Just tell God what you're thinking. And right, it's not necessarily a bad idea to show him some respect in our prayers. But also remember that he is our loving Father. We can approach him with ease. It's the same way that we would approach anyone else who loves us. So prayers can be simple. Just talk with him. And then the next thing is that prayers are honest. We don't need to tell God what we think he wants to hear, but we should tell him how we're actually feeling, right? We don't need to make it all butterflies and rainbows and make everything sound really good. We should tell him how we are truly feeling. Because, believe it or not, God already knows how we're doing. It's not we need to put on some big facade and make it sound like everything's good, because he knows how we're already doing. But he wants us to tell him how we're doing. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. He doesn't expect everything to be butterflies and rainbows in our lives. But he wants us to be honest. If we're frustrated, tell him that. If you're confused, let him know. If you're sad, share that with him. But also share when you're happy and you're glad and things are going great in your life. He wants to know both sides of your life. So prayers can be simple. Prayers are honest. And the last thing is prayers can happen anywhere at any time. So we also have kind of already hit on this one. But we should rely on God in every minute of our days. We should be in constant communication with him, that prayerful attitude throughout our days. There aren't set times, there aren't set places that we should be praying, but we can pray whenever we want, whenever we feel called, whenever we feel like we need prayer, right? It can be when you're brushing your teeth, when you're taking a shower, on your drive to work, as you're sitting in the classroom. A lot of us pray before a meal or before bed. The prayers, they can be anywhere at any time. God just wants to talk to you. It says in Colossians 4, continue steadfastly in prayer. Be watchful in it with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer. Be consistent and faithful in our prayers. We also need to know the intentions of our prayers, the intentions of our hearts. Paul says to be aware of what we are praying. In our prayers, they should also be full of thanksgiving. And that's where we're going to pick up in Paul's, his last challenge to us. It says again in 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God and Jesus for you. Be thankful. Be thankful in all circumstances. When we realize that we are who we are and we have what we have because of God, that's when we realize we have a lot to be thankful for. Again, in Colossians, it says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. We have so many things to be thankful for when it comes to God. When it comes to what he's done for us and what he is doing currently in our lives. We have so many things to be thankful for, even when it doesn't feel like it sometimes. Because Paul, he didn't say be thankful for everything. He said be thankful in everything. Just like our joy, we don't have to be, because our joy doesn't come from our circumstances, neither should our thanksgiving. When bad things happen, we can be thankful for God's presence, for the good that he will accomplish through our distress. And personally, when I choose to become thankful, I become more aware of God's presence. I become more aware of my surroundings and see how God has truly blessed me in my life. I grow in hope. I recognize that even though there is darkness, that God's light is brighter. And even though there is sadness and stress and despair in our lives, God's love brings comfort. We have so many reasons to be thankful for. So what we're going to do right now is pull your phone out, open your notes, or pull a pen and paper out, whatever you have on you, and we're going to make an inventory of the reasons we have to be thankful. Because I think when we do this, it changes our perspective a little bit. It moves us from that grumbling and complaining to being grateful. And that, it says, is God's will. So right now, let's make a list of what we're thankful for. You had a lot of good ideas on that video that was just played. And I'll share a couple of things that I'm thankful for to maybe help you guys get started. So I'm thankful for Eric. He's my husband, if you don't know. I'm thankful for the way that he loves me and the way that he cares for me. And I'm thankful for the house that we have. If you know anything about that, it's pretty jank. It's pretty rough. But I'm thankful for that and the projects that my husband and I get to work on together. I'm thankful for Parkside and the family that I've created here and the love and the support that you guys offer me. And I'm thankful for my parents and in-laws who love me and care for me. So continue making your list. If it's now, you can keep working on it. Keep working on it later this week. But I challenge you to maybe get 100 things on your list. Can you do that? Maybe 200 things on your list to be thankful for? Because that would be awesome to have to look back on. And really, I don't think 200 or 100 things to be thankful for is really that unrealistic. How many people do you know in your life? I'm sure you're thankful for a lot of those people. But keep working on that list, because when times are bad, when we feel distant from God, when things are really stressful, when it seems like we're lost and have nothing to be thankful for, we can pull that list out and see all the things that we do have to be thankful for. Because sometimes it's hard to remember that. So if you have it on your phone, save it in a note somewhere. If you're making a paper list, stick it in your Bible, something like that. A place that you can go back and look on to it. So we're wrapping up today. And I want to take these three challenges that Paul set before the Thessalonians and set before us and kind of tie them together a little bit. And so I have some prayer prompts that we're going to walk through. And these prompts will help us express our thankfulness. They will help us express our joy. But they will also be in communication with the Lord as we're walking through them. So the band will make their way back out and play a little bit behind us. And I'm going to share a few different these prompts. And they're going to be, Lord, I'm thankful for blank. And so as I read through these, I'll give you guys a little bit of time to pray through them. And we'll walk through these now. So the first one is, Lord, I'm thankful for your love for me. Take some time and pray. Lord, I'm thankful for your mercy and your grace for my life. Lord, I am thankful you are always with me. Lord, I'm thankful for the oceans, mountains, fields, deserts, and all the amazing landscape you've created for our enjoyment. Lord, I'm thankful for the plans and the purpose you have for me. And Lord, I'm thankful for your sacrifice and the gift of salvation. So we now have the opportunity to take a minute and remember that sacrifice that Jesus made. And we get to do that by taking communion. And it says in Luke 22, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." We are so thankful because Jesus sacrificed his life so we could have eternal life with the Father. But we also get to rejoice because we know that he defeated death, that he conquered the grave, and that he rose again. So today we get to celebrate and remember that through the act of communion. And you might have noticed there were no cups out on the back tables, but up here in the front we have some bread and some cups of juice. If you want to make your way forward when you're ready to grab that, and we'd love to serve you today. Let me pray, and then we'll head into communion. Lord, we are so thankful for all that you've done in our lives, that you love us so much, for your sacrifice that you made, that we get to have eternal life with the Father. And Lord, let us be full of joy, knowing that you are our hope, you are our eternity. God, be with us today as we go out. I pray that we can be your light to those that we encounter today. We love you so much, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. You can make your way up when you're ready.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.